I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 471. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here at the gorgeous compound, the Casa de Cole Coffee. In my favorite month of the year in Las Vegas in April, it's like 70 degrees outside. And it's
so nice out.
And here we are, Cold Coffee, like two ships passing in the night, just getting together. You know what I mean? Like, normally you would say, well, what do you mean? Didn't you guys work together all day?
Didn't I just see you all day?
Didn't you just work together all
day? We were supposed to see you all day.
We were supposed to. I felt terrible. I was another.
Did you really?
Late scratch. To the UFC media day today. I felt bad, but I did get an opportunity to jump in and co-host UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton. Matt Serra was traveling. I think Jim said he had just done Matt Serra had just done the Joe Rogan podcast, actually, and so I guess he was traveling back from doing Joe Rogan, so he was unavailable, and so they gave me the opportunity to co-host again, which means I guess I'm not screwing it up too bad in the opportunities that they gave me to be there, so I'll always
enjoy.
Does that
mean you're going to be doesn't Sarah still do Looking for a Fight? Are you going to be filling in some Looking for the Fight in the future seasons?
I mean, you never know where I
so
might pop
up. So you'll hop
on
like the bull, that, you know, you'll hop on the Twisted Steel or
no,
do some of that other bullshit?
There's no way. I would not do that.
If Dana, if they asked you to come for one of those, you wouldn't do any of that. Dana would literally throw stupid amounts of money on
you. If for some reason I ended up on there, not that that's anywhere happening, but for some reason
we're
that,
it
would,
we're
some reason
it happen.
That would happen. No, I would do a lot of stuff, but jumping on a bull, I don't know if I could do that, dude.
Who did?
That's
any
one
of them,
of the
did any of them did it, or was that did Sarah do it?
Did they? I don't remember. Now I have to go back and watch.
I don't feel like
I know Dana
did.
Said he didn't.
I feel like Dana didn't.
Dana
and
didn't,
I,
but that
I don't think didn't. I want to think that I thought one of them maybe did.
I can't remember now.
And if it would have been one, it would have been
they
Sarah.
Did. Sarah would. He's just not scared. He'd do it.
He doesn't give a fuck. He's nuts.
I'll be honest with you. Out of all the things they've done,
that'd be fucking
that's
terrifying.
That's one that was like, I don't know if I could
terrifying.
Do that.
Terrifying.
Bro,
I would
wrong,
sit on it. Like, say if they just, like, they didn't open up the gate, would you sit on the bull right there? And they're like, we're not going to open up the gate. You know when the guys load
in before
they go, would you sit right there?
No. That to me looks like some of the scariest part.
Because their legs are like penned up right there.
Look, I've gone to a couple of the PBR events here. Not that I know anything about it, but just looking for stuff to do and different things. And I honestly.
I mean, when you're not doing staycations, you know, and all the other stuff.
You know, if I'm not chilling at Resorts World like I was doing this past weekend, which is very cool. By the way, I just saw they're hosting a bunch of UFC 300 stuff. I'm telling you right now, I've never been to Resorts World. I stayed there on Sunday. It's a cool spot, man. I'll be honest with you.
You know where I stayed on Sunday?
Where's that?
Here.
Right here at the couch. You didn't have a staycation with the family. Now, look,
it's a staycation here at the staycation home.
I have to take care of the family, you know what I mean? But I here's what I've determined about Resorts World. I think that's an awful name. I think just there's nothing about it that just sounds like I need to go there.
And remember,
like
it wasn't supposed to be Resorts World. It was a different whole, different complex. And then they sold it to, was it the Hilton people or something that made it the Resorts World? Because it was like a combination. It was almost like an afterthought. They're like, oh, shit, okay, we bought this. And it's supposed to be a combination of things.
It's a terrible
something.
Name, but it's a cool
place.
It's
not very catchy.
It's a cool place, though. Great restaurants, great pool area. So I enjoyed it. If you ever see the UFC 300 stuff, I would recommend going there. Now, back to the bull riding.
You had to say that for the staycation, didn't you? You got a staycation discount to
no,
promote
no,
that, didn't
no,
you?
No, 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 no.
This is not an ad,
you
but
know
hey,
what?
Just letting you guys
I
know.
I should point that out. I did not – this is not any kind of working relationship. I just was like
– But it could be Resorts World.
But it could be Resorts World if you need – you know what? Now that you mention it, it's not that bad of a name.
No.
It's a pretty good name.
You know what I was thinking? I thought of many other names, but Resorts World works for
ultimately,
me.
Ultimately, it's growing on me. Once they started paying for me, I realized, you know what?
That's a hell of a name.
But no, this was just John Morgan going on the website like anybody else, and it was just cheap. For whatever, since it was Easter Sunday, I guess the rates were like really low. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I actually got a suite.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I got a suite, man. If it wasn't like
I can see where some would say, well, that's a sign of the Vegas times, you know. But it'd be one thing if they guarantee, because some places do give off the Easter Monday thing. Yep. Like, if there were, I think if there was a guaranteed that Monday would be a non-working, I think that weekend would probably be busier in Vegas.
Probably right.
So outside of that, it's just a Sunday in Vegas, yeah. You know. So
I didn't even know Monday was a holiday for a lot of people.
I didn't either. If it wasn't for Google Calendar sometimes putting like stuff, I was like Easter Monday. I was like, is Easter on a Monday? I was like, that doesn't make any sense, you know.
What was the holiday?
It's on Sunday, Easter Sunday, but right. It's a combination.
So they just give Monday off because of Easter. How do they do
it's,
that?
It's
a religious.
It's part of the rising, the waking. So he rose from the death. And
no,
then, like,
I know what Easter is.
No, but that's
but
what
how
the combination.
Do they make that a federal holiday? You can't make a religious holiday.
It's not a federal holiday.
Some
people just give it off.
Banks were closed, and I think maybe the post
I think it's on their own
closed.
Choosing, but it's not like a federal holiday. But how they, you know, like better religious people than me. My insides started burning when I was trying
oh,
to fake
was
that
about
answer.
To explain
I was like,
to
let me.
Me. What's this? Noah and an ark? What is that about? Tell
well,
me.
You know, there's a guy. He was going to get three of everything, but he got lazy. So he was like, I'm just going to go for two. That's when, in fact, great. He was fighting with this woman. He's like, I want to get enough. She's like, honey, we only got room for two. Two. He's like, two of what? She said, two of everything. Fine.
It was always the woman that was
yeah,
arguing.
That's yeah.
So it was a fair rate, and so we stayed there.
She let him keep the ark called after Noah. But really... Really, it was Jane. It was Jane's boat. It was what Jane's boat.
So ridiculous.
Okay. I learned that in Bible school, by
so
the way.
So back to the bull. There is no way
yeah,
I would
– speaking of bull.
We're not even drinking this day.
That's true.
I think we're both just a little bit tired and delirious. I'm in the middle.
I was literally falling asleep on the couch waiting for you to get here. Like, so, well, it doesn't help. I had the back doors open, so with that breeze
oh,
and this weather
so you
right
have
now,
that nice cool air
I literally
coming in.
Like you know something about just this weather. When I'm done with the work day, I'm like I like my daytime naps. I'll
yeah.
take a little nappy nap
little
every
nappy
once in a
nap?
While. Yeah, I'm telling you. And if you didn't come in, like it's you startled the fuck out of me when you walked in. I was like, ugh.
The staff didn't alert you?
No,
They didn't see me driving up the winding road.
They didn't buzz me and say, Mr. Hathaway. Mr. Morgan is coming up the yard.
I think it's awesome that you brought in all British staff, by the way. It's
well,
amazing.
Just the guy that works with security. The other guy was, the Irish guy was off today, I think.
All right, so back to the Bulls. I would not ride the bulls because I've seen – that literally looks like the most scary part. Like, I mean, the whole bull riding experience is crazy. But at least when you're out in the open, like, if you get bucked, you can, like,
you
jump
fly,
off or you
yeah.
fly. Yeah, but, man, you see them sometimes.
But
like,
they don't really buck
on.
Too often, like, in that little pen thing.
Oh, I've seen them a couple times, though, where they, like, slam them up against the wall. Yeah. Like, that's scary.
That's what I would think, like, if your legs – because once you drop your legs in, like,
yeah,
and they pin you on the side, then you just,
it.
Like – but then you see, like, all those – and it's funny because you see all those all the cowboys on the side trying to move it around. And it's like – you're only moving because the bull wants to move.
Yeah,
like
you're not
you might try
that
to push him. Like, come on, let's get him. Let's center him up. I'm like, bro, if he doesn't want to move, he's not going to move. They're such amazing
those are
animals,
fun, man. I'm telling you, those PBR events. If a PBR event is ever in your town, because the tickets aren't really that expensive.
Yeah,
and they're fun. Like I don't know anything about bull riding, but like the action is there, and like they keep it moving the whole time. They're like playing music and you know doing different. You know they got like a guy hosting basically that's talking to keep the whole thing. I've had fun every time I've gone out there. To be honest with you.
Yep. I was going to, as a suggestion for those that can't go to the real PBR, what you can do is say if you're at home with your woman, you drink a bunch of PBR, and then you take it from behind. and you
sir,
and,
sir?
And you call her the wrong name and see how long you could hold on. They call that poor man's PBR.
We have reached an all-time low or high, one or the other. I'm not sure. I'm breaking down mixed martial arts.
I don't advise anybody actually do that with their significant other.
But it's a funny joke.
It is a funny,
joke. All right. So, so we didn't work together today because I hosted UFC Unfiltered. By the way, I did get a chance to help interview Alex Morono and Dan Argueta from the card. So if you get a chance to check out UFC Unfiltered, do so. If you're a regular listener, hopefully you enjoy it even without Matt Serra being there. If you're not a regular listener and you just want to check it out and give it a shot and tell him how great you thought John Morgan was on there.
You were going to say that.
Feel free to let him know. But
if they
want to
just get rid of that Sarah guy.
No, no, don't get rid of him. He's a legend. But you know, if you want some more John Morgan in there,
you
want
to say what's the phrase? Que sera, sera.
see you later, Sarah. Que sera, Matt Sera. No, you don't get rid of Matt Sera. That's the terror. You don't get rid of Matt Sera.
He'd fight you for it.
Yes, he would, and I would not do well in that. He would handle me in quick fashion, so I'm not looking to do that. So, yes, I did that, and I missed the media day, but we'll talk about the things unfold.
I was surprised that Morono actually got to media day. Like, they skipped over some of them. They brought him and who's he fighting? Alex is fighting let me pull up the card.
Oh, he's –
because he's the featured prelim.
He is. Yeah, I was surprised he said, but he's fighting Court McGee.
Court McGee.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we having these guys? Because they didn't even bring all the – I don't know if it was like a translation, but Christos Giagos wasn't there. Bahumondes wasn't there.
Walter Walker, and Lucas Breschke, Trevor Peake, Charlie Campbell. Those are all main card fighters.
Yeah,
that they
and none
have
of them
there.
Were there.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just because, again, sometimes I think the bout order gets changed after the PR. You
Ooh,
know what I mean?
So you're thinking these guys are going to make it to the main?
No, I think maybe that when they were putting the PR schedule together, because they try to get the PR schedule to the fighters the week before.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there was a late shuffle and McGee and Morono were further up the card.
Maybe. And, I mean, they obviously have good stories. I mean, they know what they're going to get
That's
when they
the
come to media
days. Those are veterans, man.
It was pretty legit. And Court was really, really good today. Actually, they were both really good. But Court, man, like, it's funny. We were talking about, like, Court, from when I first met Court when I was, like, UFC, the way he carried himself, and he was much more, like, at the time, just not standoffish, just more like, hey, look at me, I'm in the UFC, blah, 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 blah. Where you see the guy now, and he's just much more humbled, mature, like, life. He's so much more life has happened to him at this point, you know, and it's just, I love listening to him chat about stuff. And it's funny,
he's
like,
great, man.
You know, at some point, you know, I could definitely tell that there, because me, I wanted to dive into more stuff and chat with him. We were talking about his neck surgery and his recovery, and then obviously they gave him a chance to talk about his Court McGee Foundation. And I can tell it was at that point. I know people in the room were like, come on, this went really long. But I was like, bro, this is
Court.
I was like,
McGee,
he's chatting.
He's been around,
you know, he's
forever.
Been around for a long time, you know, like. You know, this is one of the guys, he did say that he re-upped. This, he signed a four-fight contract. This is the first of the four fights. But, you know, this is another guy that, and he even said it, you know, there's no guarantee that all four of those fights ever get fought out. He's 39. He'll be 40, 41 by the time he finishes these fight contracts if he's able to go. And, you know, I kind of brought it up to him. I was like, you know, could this be the end of this last run of things? You know, he was talking about, remember, he had his wrist surgery, and there was a time where he thought that was going to end his career. The neck surgery, even going in that surgery, that, you know, like, that's such a scary surgery that, you know, you almost wonder, like, okay, is it just a quality of life? Let me fix it. If it's a quality of life and it's not going to affect things, but will I still be able to fight? Or is it the kind of thing that I do just to help my career go forward? You know, like, these are all big questions. I mean, when somebody starts cutting into your neck and your spinal column and all the other kind of shit, like, it's very, 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 very serious. You never really know. So, but I just thought it was great to be able to chat with him. But I know there was a couple of times I was thinking, like, fuck, this went really long.
Yeah,
but I was like, it's Court.
You know, they only have so many more times that you're going to see him. You know what I mean? And these are important fights. You know, some of these veterans, man, I think one thing that maybe some people don't realize is UFC contracts never go down in value, right? So when they re-sign – like, the way it works, I know everybody talks about the way it starts when you come in. Like, oh, 10 and 10, it's atrocious. I can't believe, you know, I have athletes doing this. But they never go down. So the way the contracts are structured is that if you win, you get an escalator, right? So your next one, you know, so if you come in at 10 and 10 and you lose, then your next fight, you're still at 10 and 10. But if you win, you know, depending on how your contract may be set up, it's 12 and 12 or 13 and 13, right? And your contract is set up that way. So when these guys re-up, it always goes up. So those escalators just continue to escalate. It's never like they sign a new contract and the value goes down from the previous value. So the longer you can stay in the organization and the longer that you can kind of move forward, the more money you can make. You know what I mean? And so right now, Court McGee is making more money than he ever has at any point in his entire career. So sometimes I think, I don't know, maybe like people get tired of seeing
2010.
Yeah, so you think about how many, you know, little escalations he's had along the way. He's making good money now.
Yeah, back when the Ultimate Fighters were exhibitions.
Crazy.
So crazy when I'm looking at Topology and you see exhibition MMA, exhibition MMA, exhibition MMA. When did they finally change that?
Well, they still count the first fights as exhibition.
It's only the ones on the fight night?
It's only the ones on the fight night, yeah. So that way, and the only reason they do it is so that, well, first of all, because they do two-round fights, and second, because
that makes sense.
and second because that way they can keep the result of them private. Yeah. So,
interesting.
So that's why they do that. But, you know, so for guys like this that can stick around, that's why you're happy for those guys that can stick around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is funny, a number of veterans, I think, like, in the beginning don't really love talking to the media, but then in the end, I think they start to realize, like, hey, man, this is all going away real quick. And you know what?
Yeah.
My phone's not going to ring, and there's not going to be people that want to talk to me and put cameras in front of my face and all that. So let me soak it in and embrace it while I can, you know?
And I can get it. I mean, I get it. I mean, like, you know, plus, you know, you go out there and you never know what's going to get thrown at you. You never know if somebody's going to be out there trying to just put up every bad thing in your life. So you probably go in a little bit guarded. And I think probably, you know, I think a lot of people when they come to the Apex, regardless of what people think when they listen to these things, people come in and they realize, like, oh, okay, they scale, they look at the scene, they realize, okay, it doesn't, I recognize this guy, I recognize her, I recognize this guy, I recognize this guy, you know, and then they realize that, okay, maybe I could chat, and maybe I can open up a little bit more, you know. So there is something to that, and I'm sure maybe the interviews aren't the, you know, something, you know, the top CNN news, you know, or whatever, or, you know, the hardest hitting stuff, but we're able to get some pretty good stuff a lot of times because fighters open up, you know, and I enjoy it because, like you said, you know, like, there could be a day in the future where who knows if I'm not at an event and say Court fights for the next three times elsewhere, I might never ever actually interview him again. Yep. So I might as well take opportunity, you know, to have a chat with a guy that I actually respect his story, man. I love what he's trying to give back. And I'm especially a guy that when it was so crazy, you know, as a, you know, when he starts talking about the spinal surgery and I was like, and I was hearing the way that how he recovered from his neck surgery, since he had that whole bout of wanting to get off drugs and not want to do it. So it was a really big point in him to how the pain management,
right,
even from when the surgery was happening until afterwards, he didn't want any narcotics. He didn't want to leave the hospital with any narcotics. So you're talking,
that's hardcore, bro.
Ibuprofen, aspirin, other shit. He said he was up like every 3 months. To think when I went through mine, if I had to just only have like, say, regular ibuprofen or whatever,
there's no way.
There's no way, dude. I was in so much pain.
You were hurting bad.
Like, it's nuts to hear him. So when he was telling me that, I was like, dude, you're fucking crazy. I was like, so what happened on the surgery? I was like, did you tell him? So they said they could give him an intravenous enough. He said he wanted to be sedated so they could stay asleep, but he didn't want to have, like, crazy amounts of narcotics in it. But the guy said, if I start to see you up, it's okay intravenously to put something in to make sure that you don't wake up. You don't want somebody waking up when
in
you're
the middle,
especially when they're going, they were going through like his front into like the front area and then to get to his, like the spinal column through his neck and from the front. And I'm just like, you're fucking psycho, dude, to like not want to do it. But that's his, when you understand his story and everything he's preaching to get off the drugs and people, how people are recovering.
Man.
That was so huge hearing him talk about his foundation, talk about stuff. But that's how serious he is about not wanting that to put back into his life. In April, later on this month, it's going to be 18 years, I think, of sobriety and stuff. So awesome for him. But, dude, just hearing that, I was just like, man, these guys are different level. Like, it's a whole different thing. They're not human, but it was so cool just to hear him talk about it. And it's one thing, you know, we could just talk about the fight. We could talk about, okay, your strategies, you can do this, but this guy's out there actually trying to change people. And when you listen to him talk about it, it's more meaningful than just getting another W this week. You know, of course he wants to get the W to help pay for his family, but he understands that the platform and being able to still off to the side, do the things that mean so much to him. So it was awesome. And I was so glad to hear from him. And I was thankful that I get that opportunity because I never know if there's no guarantee I get to ever have that again. I think I've had some flavor of that sort of conversation with him maybe two or three times. And it always amazes me. And I'm always grateful that I can because it's the kind of shit that just reminds you that there's good people that can go through shitty situations, pick themselves back up, and be a good beacon for others. And then, you know, that therefore drives them and keeps them on the straight and narrow as well. Every addict, every alcoholic, every, you know, anything, always, you know, you might be away from it and think like, I'm good, you always have those daily balances, you know, those daily challenges and stuff. And if this is the kind of stuff that keeps him on his path, and then he sees that he's helping people out and that drives it and it just keeps the whole cyclical thing, I think it's awesome. So I tried to give him that platform, and I was glad said something. But by the end of it, I was like, I don't care if you guys think this interview went long. I was like, I was glad he fucking talked about it.
Yeah, we got to be – we're there anyway. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? So I love it, man.
We're stuck in the room.
Right, what are we going to do? So you're just sitting in silence for the whole time? Like, yeah. All it means is it's going to take a little longer to process the video. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who cares? I agree, man. I was glad to see those guys shut up. I was a little bit bummed because obviously with this CFFC history, I am a Charlie Campbell fan, and I love – Charlie Campbell versus Trevor Peak could be an absolute banger, man.
Yeah, Peak's a psycho.
So I was a little bit bummed that those guys didn't get to be a part of the media day because I wanted to, you know, I like seeing the guys that come through CFFC. I love seeing them get the opportunity to be in front of, like, bigger audiences and bigger media presences.
And I know they love seeing you out there as well. It's always kind of fun when they see you there.
It is cool, man. That would have been great. Of course, today, maybe it worked out great because since I didn't make it there, then –
Maybe that's why they pulled him off. They're like, oh, Jalen's not going to be here, and they're like, PR, we just don't even want to come.
You know? maybe they just said, we're out. It was good. So, by the way, I did that, and then I also, after I did host the USC Unfiltered, I also taped. I showed up at the Apex probably about right about when you were leaving, I bet. But I actually taped something that I don't know that I can talk about, but it's a partnership with USC and DraftKings that I got to be a part of that I filmed with. So keep an eye for that. I don't think I can spoil what the content is about or what the whole project's about, but it's a USC
DraftKings. DraftKings been doing a bunch of stuff.
They're doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. So it was fun. Obviously, we'll see how it comes out. I'm not in charge of editing and all the things they do, but hopefully it comes out good because I'm always honored when I get a chance to do stuff like that. So, listen, everybody's talking about UFC 300, of course, man. That's next week. That's the big event.
you're not wrong.
You know?
Like, we're going through this fight week, but it feels like – and I know we're not the only ones. It feels like people are going through the motions because they're already prepping for next week.
And I feel terrible about it. I just think it's natural. I mean
– it is natural.
Big pay-per-view.
I think we do it for every pay-per-view. Any event that's
– But 300 is crazy. And, again, I know there's people that aren't
happy
about the main
event. It's
going to
be the greatest fight card ever.
It's a pretty damn good fight card. It's a pretty damn good fight card. I mean, the number of former champs and stuff that are on. I know people are not happy with the main event, but I don't see how.
I think they're happy with it. I think it's the way it came together. I think at the end of the day, I think we're all happy with it, but it was just so, like, the process, how it just came out, we're just like, okay. It was just weird.
To get the main event, basically.
To get
last.
The main event, yeah. Yeah. And then, like, short notice.
Yeah, I get it.
Like a short notice for the guys. You weren't sure this is going to be the one, but I mean, it's still a step. I mean, granted, it was the best of what was available for sure. Which is the crazy part, but it's still a good one. And fucking Jamal Hill's killing it with his social media.
I was going to ask you, bro, Jamal,
like,
Hill
thing?
On social media, that walk-in video, hilarious.
It was so funny.
He kills it on social media. Yeah.
Somebody was saying he's big. I was like, of course he's a big dude, but they're like, I hope he can make weight. I was like, I don't remember him missing weight. You know, like, he's going to make weight.
Oh, he'll make weight.
But they were saying, like, he was big.
He's
funny, man. I was like, don't just take that video. I was like, who knows when they filmed it. I was like, yeah, he looked like he was healthy and bigger in the video, but he's light heavy, man. He's
and knowing him, dude, like, he'll stick his belly out or something just to mess with people. You know what I mean? So, like, he's a
It's
going
to be a banger, man.
Oh, I love it.
It's going to be
the walking video is great. He does a lot of funny stuff. That might be as good as the one where, like, is the one that the last time I talked to him was after he had done, like, the video where, like, remember Jiří Procházka was, like, filming out in the snow. And so, like, he went outside. He's like, I got snow in my backyard, too. Right? You know what
one.
I mean? Like,
I forgot about that. That was
so
good.
He's just hilarious, man. Jamal Hill. And it's funny because I know some
that
people
was a good one.
I know some people are like, oh, man, you need to worry about training and not being on social media. Like, bro, you can't train 24 hours a day, and you've got to connect with the audience somehow. So I love that he has some fun
what
with
was
it,
your,
man.
What was the last one? It was the TP King or whatever. When he was walking in, he even had the
– Oh, yeah,
the
where they were
recording
the
toilet
roll. And then rolled it out. Like,
that rollout was perfect. How many times did – That couldn't have been like the first
one
time.
Take, bro. One
it
take.
Had to be, or it wasn't. It didn't certainly didn't look like they like rolled it back up to try it
no,
again.
No.
I was like, that was such a perfect take. I was just like, that was so good. It was so good,
man. I enjoy that. So I know everybody's looking towards 300. It's obvious. It's understandable.
Yeah.
But I will say, look, this is a meaningful middleweight fight. I know it's not. I guess, and this will add to it too. It wasn't the fight we thought we were going to get, right?
Yeah.
And for Brendan Allen, what'd you take for Brendan Allen today? Because on the one hand, like, you know. he wants some revenge against Chris Curtis. But on the other hand, he thought he was going to get beating Chris Curtis, I don't think gets him the recognition in the division that beating Marvin Vettori would.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate because Chris Curtis is one of those dudes that can beat anybody in the division. He's no easy out by any stretch.
100%.
But it just feels like it doesn't come with the cachet of beating Marvin Vettori.
I think you're right. I mean, and you know, as much as you know, people put like it's a revenge match and this whatever. Until I saw the two at the end, completely forgot about that first one. Even that first one was sort of like a shortish notice as well. You know, I was like, oh shit, that's right. These guys did fight. You know, and there's no heat. There's no longing like, oh man, that's a fight. I just can't wait till they run that one back. You know, like. You know, Vettori, you know, he was just going to talk the smack that he always does. And, I mean, this is a guy that had been up there at the top fighting for the championship and fighting, you know, being a number one contender. You beat that guy. You know, you really keep marking your claim for this. While this is a good step forward, depending on how he does it, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, it's still going back in rank.
It is.
You know, so it's a it's a good fight. Chris Curtis, I think, is one of the low-key funniest dudes as well. I mean, he's just – I love the way he carries himself on the media days. He just chats. He had, like, a crazy shirt on today.
The shirt was hilarious.
Yeah, they both had funny shirts on today, which was just silly. But, like, his overall attitude, I mean, I see his work ethic in the gym. I see what his teammates think about the guy. He said some crazy shit today. Very like Arnold Schwarzenegger-esque, where he's like, you know, I'd rather be fighting than fucking.
I know.
I was like, okay, I hear you.
They're like, why'd you take this fight? He's like, well, I wasn't supposed to take the fight, but I love money.
Yeah,
I love money a lot, and I love the fight.
I mean, I think it's gonna be a banger. I mean, yeah. I mean, if people think that Chris Curtis doesn't have like as you know, I think some people when they think that maybe Vettori offered maybe more skill set to take the fight differently in certain areas, and they think that Curtis maybe is only power. I think that's a silly way
Curtis
to look at it.
I think Curtis is just as dangerous.
I think so as well. I mean, and I think when he gets to like when he gets his hands on you, man, I'd be much more scared of Chris Curtis grabbing on you as opposed to Vettori. You know, Vettori, like nobody's thinking like, oh, Marvin can't wait till Marvin just grabs a hold of him and just throws him down to the ground or whatever. Like Marvin just wants to knock you out standing, just wants to beat you down. Like Curtis literally wants to throw you to the ground and pound your brains in. Allen, I did pick Allen in this one.
Yeah, me too.
I think he is a more well-rounded fighter, but man, if Chris Curtis goes out there and just walks forward and throws everything and catches him and knocks him out flat, I would not be surprised. The dude's got sick power.
And you just wonder if it's, you know, again, kind of a trap fight for Brendan Allen. He thought this was going to be his breakthrough moment. Now I don't think it can be his breakthrough moment. Yep. You know, I mean, I know he's still saying, "Look, I win this. It's not my fault. Like you got to give me the big challenge." And I agree with that. You know what I mean? But you still wonder, you know what I mean? Like, does the honing of the focus that you had, does it shift a little bit because you're like, oh, I thought I was fighting this guy, not that guy?
It would be a serious mistake on his part. I don't think and listening to him today, I definitely don't think he's taking it lightly, and I definitely don't think he's not prepared. He was saying some of the right things today, you know, like definitely not that he thinks that Chris has gotten better than what he had before. But I mean, you see some of these matches when and he said like he just happened to catch him first. He's like, you go back and you look at the fight, we were both thrown down, we were both hitting. He's like, I just caught him first. Mm-hmm. You know, and that ended the fight. That same sort of thing can happen in this one. They can go in there and start banging, and maybe Curtis catches him first. I mean, you never know. But man, I definitely don't think he's going to take it lightly. It would be a mistake if he's going in there and he thinks that, oh, hey, this is a step back. I don't have to give as much because it's not going to be as tough. Like, you know, the other guy was more for ranking. I just got to show up and it's going to take care of itself. I would hope that he's not playing it, and I think he's smart enough that he wouldn't do that sort of thing because Chris Curtis is way too dangerous to do it. And he's the kind of guy that'll steal the fight from you. If you don't take the fight and take the fight away from Curtis, he's going to take the fight away from you.
Yep.
And boy, man, just listening, both guys were great, but yeah, Curtis, man, he was killing me in his meet today. He was the first person that showed up early. And then luckily they kept moving because, you know, anytime they come in like 30 minutes early, they're like, hey, we're going to start early. I was like, fuck, does that mean we're going to have a 30-minute break right from the get-go?
Usually.
Because it was supposed to be Court McGee first, and we actually got him like third or fourth or fifth down the line or whatever, and Chris came in first. And then I was like, oh, man, I hope we don't have a long break. But he came in and immediately just woke the room up. I mean, he's got such an infectious personality.
How about, did you feel a little bit bad for Sam Alvey as Chris Curtis is pulling back the curtains on that one, man? Like, I was like, part of me was cracking up, but he was laughing so hard at Sam Alvey that it kind of made me feel bad for Sam Alvey. If anybody didn't see this clip, Chris Curtis just got added to the video game. So he was asked about being added to the video game. He starts talking about the fact that, you know, his ratings, you know, better be right or whatever. He's like, because I don't want to be like Sam Alvey. He's like, I was living with Sam Alvey at the time, and his ratings came out, and he was like actually depressed.
Yeah.
But as he was telling the story, he was just cracking up so much.
He continued on after we got off. He's like, I'm telling you. He's like, you know, he's like, poor Sam. He's like, he was about in tears. He's like, I just don't want it to be like that for me.
That's so bad for Sam Alvey.
Which is funny because Sam's smiling. Sam. It's like, okay, we found the kryptonite. put bad stats in the EA game, and the smile will go away.
Oh, that's funny. He was peeling back the curtain there, man, letting you see.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Good main event. Co-main event should be fun as well. Alexander Hernandez versus Damon Jackson. It was a fight that when they announced, you just knew it was going to be a banger. I mean, both these guys come to scrap. You know, I like both these guys as well. Obviously, you know, Damon, a great dude. He's got the Fortis tie and all that. Alexander Hernandez is, I think we've always just liked him as a character, man. He's just an interesting, intense dude that's tried to chill out a little bit over time, but still has that intensity at his base. You know what I mean?
Had some of his moments today.
Still has a little bit of it. And then we find out there's a little bit of bad blood brewing. And when Damon says no bad blood, but he's like, I just don't like the guy. I don't like his face.
Yeah. Well, and then he was like, I didn't like the way he talked about, like, Donald
Cowboy Cerrone, right?
And it was just like, okay, I get it. But I was like, but why would you even bring that up? It was just kind of interesting. I didn't really think anything about it. I was like, oh, he's just making an off-head condiment.
He's
whatever.
Like, well, my coach is tight with Cowboy. And obviously everybody remembers the Alexander Hernandez talking trash about Cowboy. And the world turned on him. And then Cowboy went out and beat him. And that was the hard thing that Alexander Hernandez has had for his career to get back on, like, people liking him or whatever. But he is just an interesting cat. But Damon, I was offended by that.
I was offended by it. And then Amy, being the little fire starter that she is, she's like, well, do you know that your opponent seems to not like him? He's like, oh, really? He's like, you know, I don't have any feelings any particular way towards him. He's like, well, so he doesn't like you because of the way that you talked about Cowboy or whatever. And he's like, oh, he's going to get fired up about that? And he's like, well, that's awful homosexual of him. There's something along that. He's like, that's very homosexual. I forget how he phrased it, but he is not politically correct.
Yeah,
he just didn't come out and say, like, oh, man, well, that sounds gay. You know, he's like, that was very homosexual of him, and then he just chuckled and went on about it. And I'm sure people are going to shit on us because we didn't ask it. I'm at the point, I'm like, bro, if he wants to say something silly like that, you know, it's, you know, I have gay friends, whatever, but I still found it funny. I was just like, whatever, I get it. You know, like, I'm not going to fucking, like, oh, okay, how dare you, Mr. Hernandez, say that. I get it that you were joking and we have no sense of humor anymore today. I'm going to yell at you about it. I was just like, whatever. But, of course, that was our headline, and I was like, okay, now people are just going to throw it again on us that we put it out in the headline or whatever. So it is what it is. But, Aaron was Mr. Hernandez was fired up. Alexander, I don't know why I call him Aaron, because there's a different Aaron Hernandez.
Ooh, that one has made some bigger mistakes.
He's still paying for them.
That one has made some issues. Yeah. So that should be a banger. So, like, I think there's
going to
be
a good one.
Morgan Shire.
I homered on that one. I did pick Jackson. Wow. Even though that's just – it's so hard for me.
I haven't made an official pick yet there, but I'm thinking Damon Jackson as well, and I think it's a complete
homer.
Pick.
I thought his last fight, he looked really, really good. But, man, yeah, I felt like I homered on that one a little bit. But I'm fine with that.
Morgan Charrier, Shepe Mariscal, that was a bit of a pick 'em. That's a good fight as well.
Yeah, man, I think I went Shepe, but man, listen to Morgan chat today, man. Boy, he sounds focused. That's going to be a fun one, I think. I mean, look at it. I mean, like, who really knows these names? And they're third from the top. I mean, like, I can see where somebody like, who are these guys to go? They have fought in the UFC before, but I mean, like, they're not high up in the division or anything. But, I mean, it's definitely – that they're putting them in a spotlight position. I mean, like, you're smack dab, you know, at the top of the card of the fight card. So I'm expecting really good things because if that fight stinks and it's so high up, people are just going to shit on the card.
No, I think they're going to be able to scrap. I think they're going to be able to scrap. And this is their opportunity, right? I mean, you've got to give – these guys that are kind of early in their career, you got to give them a little bit of shine, right?
Because they're going to try. Listening to them today, they feel like you're going to go out and they're going to do it. And, I mean, the matchmakers now, I mean, pretty confident they know what they're doing. Like, they know who's going to have the potential to kind of set that card off. But It was interesting. I was really, really surprised some of the guys that they jumped over if looking at this topology, if this is the actual order that it goes on to.
Well, the rest of the main card, according to UFC.com, Ignacio Bahamondes and Christos Giagos, Walter
Walker.
That should be a fun one. Walter Walker versus Lucas Breschke should be probably violent at heavyweight. And then I think Trevor Peak and Charlie Campbell could be an absolute banger at lightweight as well. So that's the main card. By the way, it is a
six-fight main card,
but it does start at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. So it's a little bit earlier in the day than last week was in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that was
late.
Yeah, that was like, oh, that was rough, sitting around waiting to work. I was literally at like 1 o'clock our time was like, okay, isn't it about to start?
Go.
And I was like, nope. I was like, damn it.
Poor Nolan out there on the East Coast for you guys, man. It's I know. And look, I know it just sounds like some old man crying or something, but I wish these fight nights were early. Like the pay per views,
no,
I get
it,
man. Pay per view, that's the whole thing.
Like that one, why? Well, why? I have no idea.
Unless it's just, you know,
just
Atlantic
for the local
City
crowd.
Wanted it. Yeah,
they
for the local
nighttime
crowd. They want a nighttime thing, a Saturday night thing.
Had to be. I was like, it doesn't make any damn sense.
Court McGee versus Alex Morono, as we mentioned, a battle of two vets there. Yeah. Norma Dumont versus Jermaine Durandamy. I'm excited for this one, man.
It's going to be interesting, right?
Because Dumont hasn't. First of all, I'm just gonna. I'm very. I don't say a lot about the rankings. I do vote on the rankings committee, as a lot of people know. I always give the results every week. I don't like to be critical of other people, right? But Norma Dumont is currently ranked number 11 in the women's bantamweight rankings, despite the fact that she has never competed at bantamweight. And I think that is one of the dumbest rankings things.
That is ridiculous.
It's dumb. I don't even have her on my rankings. You can't be ranked in a division if you haven't even fought there yet. And it is
They're
one
like,
of the,
but guys, look at her. She's a knockout.
So they have her there, and it's crazy.
That
she's,
doesn't make
she's
any
number
sense
11
at all.
And hasn't even fought
so
at 135
can't you, like,
pounds.
Petition? Can't you pull weight and just say, hey, guys, you know who I am?
you might
have seen
way.
Me on the Unfiltered podcast recently.
So my opinion means more
my
than
opinion
yours.
Means...
And she should not be ranked. But here she is. She's making the cut down to 135. I'm assuming it'll be 136. I'm interested to see if she makes it. You know what I mean? She hasn't, you know, it hasn't been easy for her. And then you see Jermaine coming back who
Long time away, boy.
Listen, I'm a little surprised at the odds in this one, man. Jermaine is an underdog. I get it. Long time away. She's up there in age. I got all those things, but I think maybe people are kind of maybe forgetting how good she is.
How far off is she?
So the odds that they have listed at UFC.com right now anyway, which I'm assuming the DraftKings odds, they're not far off. It's Norma Dumont at -155 and Jermaine Durandamy at +130. So it's not high off, but
that's
still.
Good. That's good dog money right there.
Right?
That's dog money.
Maybe I'm crazy and I'm thinking that's going to look
her.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
I picked her.
I am too.
I like Dumont. I love her voice. I think she's hot. But like this GDR is the real deal.
Yes.
Even though she hasn't fought in 3 years, 3.5 years.
But you know, it's not like she was sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a lifelong athlete. I think she's a full-time cop as well. You know what I mean? Like, she's not just sitting around, like, you know, eating bonbons or something.
Dude, that's good dog money. I'd find a nice little pick with that and do a little parlay, man. That's good.
I think so, too.
That's crazy.
The other one, I think, is
– it's got to be a popularity contest on that thing.
I think so, too.
And
you just look at the ranking, and which, again, ranked in division. No offense. No offense, because look, she's a client of our good friend Alex Davis. Where my
Alex
kid trains. My kid trains under Alex Davis. You know what I mean? So I'm not. It's no offense to her. I just don't understand how you can be ranked in a division that you've
never
competed in.
It doesn't
you know
make
what I mean?
Any sense.
Pedro Falcao and Victor Hugo, Pierre Rodriguez, Cynthia Calvillo. I kind of like Cynthia Calvillo as an underdog as well, even though she's had losses. She's lost to some very high level competition.
Yeah.
She's just a minor underdog as well. Dan Argueta versus John Matsumoto. Talked to Dan Argueta today on Unfiltered, so check out that podcast. He is he's a character, man. He is dialed in and ready to go. He's intense. He's intense. It was a little bit, and you know, I think they're kind of from the same area, but it reminded me a little Tony Ferguson in there in the way he was talking today on Unfiltered. So
did he capitalize all the words as he said them?
Every other letter, God, Tony Ferguson capitalizing the letters just to piss people off. Dylan Budka versus Cesar Almeida and Melissa Mullins versus Nora Cornell as well. So listen. Again, it's one of those I do think there's going to be a handful of matchups on here that we really enjoy. But I get it. It's not getting any limelight when UFC 300's right around the corner.
Yeah. Not, You know, and looking at the card, even when you just go down and you just read it right there, I'm like, there's good fights on there. I mean, this people will poop on and say it's a typical fight night card, but it's gonna end up being a good night of fights. We're gonna enjoy the fights gonna come out at. Like I'm confident and hopeful that we're gonna get a nice bit of finishes. Maybe hopefully the ones that don't go that go to a decision are good fun ones. And when you look at the lineup, man, it is a good lineup. It really, really is.
It really is. It's not the only big time MMA that you're getting this week as well.
Oh, really? Is there something else going on?
A reminder that the PFL is kicking off as well. Now, I'll tell you about the stuff that I'm doing a part of as well. By the way, if you're in the media and you want to be part of the media call tomorrow afternoon, please do so. I'll be hosting that. I love hosting the media calls for the PFL. But the PFL season is kicking off in San Antonio on Thursday night, so definitely want to check that out as well. The heavyweights and the women's flyweights divisions are kicking off, so that should be a fun start there. To be honest, Liz Carmouche versus Juliana Velasquez.
It's gonna be a good one.
I think that's one of the fights I'm probably looking forward to the most on the entire card. If I'm being honest with you, I will say if you're in San Antonio, the venue that they use there, because I was down there for the last show in San Antonio, is actually a very 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 cool venue, very small. So that one's on there. Dakota Tacheva is in the women's flyweight division. Obviously, she was victorious in the European tournament last year. Now she's here in the global tournament as well. She's talented, man. She's very, very talented. And just an exciting young prospect that's getting thrown in there. Tyler Santos, who came over from the UFC, a little bit of a surprise departure, I think, from the UFC.
She's a good fighter.
Really good fighter. I mean, you look at the run of people that she fought, you know, Erin Blanchfield, Valentina Shevchenko, Joanne Wood, Roxanne Modafferi, Jillian Robertson, Molly McCann. I mean,
that's legit.
Legit, man. And I think she's good. So anxious to see that.
That's a good get for them.
Steve Mowry is in there. Lucas Brennan is on the card as well. I'm a big Lucas Brennan fan, man. He undefeated record. He was kind of a prospect rising up the ranks. Son of Chris Brennan, of course. The legend, the old school MMA fans will certainly remember. So PFL is kicking off, and their schedule will get underway this Thursday night. And man, here they go. You know, it's like you had the Bellator PFL crossover, then you had Bellator. Now you're kind of just getting back into what PFL does, right? They'll go for the next 3 weeks. So they got Thursday, April the 4th, then Friday, April the 12th, right here in Las Vegas. That's the night before UFC 300. And then they go Friday, April the 19th at the Wintrust Arena out in Chicago. So their season will be fully underway there. So, you know, it is one of the big things I think that's going to help the PFL, because one of their biggest challenges has always been they do this and then they go away for 2 months, right? Because all their fighters have to recover and they have to get ready for the next one. And, like, how do you stay in the news in between? I think the fact that now you can throw some Bellator events in there and it's still the same company, so you can still talk about the same things, I think that's going to help them out a little bit. But that kicks off on Thursday night. So
should be a good one. You mean tomorrow?
Yeah. Gosh, it is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
night.
Yeah, they had the weigh-ins. We saw that Daniel James, I think, missed by a pound or something like that.
Did you really? I didn't see those yet.
I'd have to go back because it was happening, I think, while the media day or something. But I thought I saw something like Daniel James maybe missed. So I think that means he's fined and he, like, loses a point or something.
Wow.
The weird sort of stuff. But I think so. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. But I thought I saw that come over in the Slack channel.
Valentin Moldavsky in the main event as well, so that's going to be a good opportunity for him against Ante
Delia.
That's
going to be a good one.
That's a good fight right there. That'll be a big opportunity for him in there. So a lot of fights
and
I'm excited about.
Goltaub and Linton Vassell.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That's a great one as well, man. Yeah. So some fun stuff.
But yeah, I'm excited for that Carmouche Velasquez one.
I think so too.
I think that'll be fun. I think that'll be fun. I know a lot of people are hiring Dakota. So getting to see her in there, so that'll be good.
I just noticed that they put her on the main card as well. Yeah. I thought she was on the undercard, but she's actually on the main card.
Yeah.
They're high on her for sure.
Well, and for good reason. I mean, like, PFL and Bellator, all that sort of stuff. I mean, like, I think they realize it's the names. It's these fighters that they could build up. Look what they were able to do with, like, Bellator was able to do with, like, AJ McKee and those cats. I think they realize if they get a good fighter and they get him in there and they have the swagger, the look, the talk – they build superstars. I mean, that's if they want to compete with the UFC outside of just putting on great fights, they got to have characters. They got to make people want to watch their stuff. And, I mean, they're doing a pretty good job of bringing some of these fighters over. And I think that's probably a play to kind of show their hand and say, oh, by the way, we have some top-notch ladies you guys need to pay attention to over as well. So should be good, man. Yeah, good for them, man. It's a run of weekend after weekend after weekend on that one. Are you going to try to do the Vegas one?
So I won't. I won't be here. I won't. Okay. So I'm doing I will be in Atlantic City for CFSC 131, so I'm flying coast to coast, so I'm going to miss that one.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do it either. It's just a long day, man.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Unless I just say screw it, but I'm like, I'd rather just watch it on TV instead of, like, go work it. No offense to them. It's just a long day, and then we got the fight night.
I heard you might have some help over here that maybe I'm talking about that, but maybe that's a possibility. I don't know if I'm supposed to
Oh, you mean send him there?
We'll keep that under wraps for now.
That could be fun to actually maybe take him up. I'm not going to talk myself into it. I won't promise. I guess I'll keep it open.
Well, maybe you split the duties. Now you have somebody else that can handle it.
Well, we weren't even really planning to cover it at all.
But you weren't having an extra body here either.
I know. Well, I'm not going to suggest it.
You don't want to make some extra work for somebody else.
I'll let somebody else say that.
True that. Yeah. Don't be volunteering. Yeah. What are you volunteering me for work for?
I volunteered for you to do something.
That's great.
No.
All right. So listen, that is on ESPN in the United States, DAZN in Canada, Europe. Check that
ESPN
out.
ESPN Plus, right?
ESPN Plus. Yes, the ESPN and ESPN Plus. ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus, I should say. Prelims on ESPN Plus, main card on ESPN 2. So check that out. But, you know, make sure you got your dual screen setup going on because you're also going to want to check out Fury Professional Grappling.
Oh, yeah, why is that?
Well.
What's going on there?
I mean, you know, if you want to see your boy John Morgan in action, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Is there any bulls? Is there going to be a bull?
There's no bulls.
That's some bulls.
But I will say, so it'll be me. Punk is not going to be able to be there because obviously he's got WrestleMania week, so that's obviously a big thing out in Philadelphia, and he's going to be a part of it even though he's hurt and can't compete. But I think you're going to want to see it, number one, because it's another event working with the military. It's at the Air National Guard base in Savannah, Georgia.
Very cool.
So working with the Air National Guard. So I'm told that we're inside a hangar once again, so you're going to have like the military
cool
equipment
shit.
And stuff. Cool background there. It's closed off, so there's no even public tickets.
I can
tickets.
See your testosterone level already just rising, just thinking about it.
You know me. And heavy artillery, you know what I mean? But I love being there. I love being around that, especially because the events where it's not like – it's not even open to the public. Like, it's just open to, like, the military
the
and their – it's for the troops. It's a fight for the troops. And I love that, man, because they get to come see it. But Colton Smith
is
actually –
You want to see some people be showing up at the very start. Troops show up.
Oh, yeah.
They show up. They're like, oh, you're putting this on for us? And we can maybe have some drinks there. Like, let's do this.
We're
going to
be there. So Colton Smith, if you remember the Ultimate Fighter 61.
Crap. Yeah.
Yeah, he is actually going to be my co-commentator. So I'm
excited. That's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen him forever, man. And so we were chatting via text. And so he's excited. I'm excited to work with them. And he's the perfect guy to do it, right? Because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, but also an extensive military history as well. 18 years of service.
Wow.
And you know what's funny is, and this won't mean a lot to a lot of people, but it'll mean something to you and to the hardcores. I actually got a text from John Wayne Troxell today.
Did you?
He said, I heard that you're working with my good friend Colton Smith. And I was like, oh, your good friend? I was like, cool. I didn't know you guys were tight like that. But I was like, if he's got your respect, you know, obviously I knew Colton from his UFC run. But I was like, that's so awesome. And John Wayne Troxell said he was actually my operations assistant in the Pentagon. So he was with me on my travels all over the world, man. So Colton
That's
and John
crazy.
Wayne worked close together. So small world all coming back together, man. So I'm excited to see him there. But
wow. When he was the senior enlisted advisor?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's killer.
Yeah, he was his assistant there.
That's awesome. Yeah, Troxel's the real deal. When we first met him, he was just the command sergeant major there in Japan on that base that we were at. He was still command sergeant major. Then he went on and became the senior enlisted advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the senior non-commissioned officer of the U.S. Armed Forces from December 11, 2015 until he retired in 2019. Like, that's the highest position that an enlisted serviceman can get.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's for military people, that's pretty cool. Dude's hitting you up. Yeah, so I mean, like, every once in a while, I'll trade, like, texts with him or tweets and stuff with him, and I'm always like, he's the real deal and stuff. So it's funny because, talk to my mom who had a career working with the military and other stuff, you know, name drops people and stuff. This is one I could always throw towards. I'm like, well, you know, I was hanging out with the senior enlisted advisor to the team, you know. And she's like, yep, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a good challenge coin that's to cool, carry though. Around.
Yes, that mean, but that's cool. I had no idea that
I didn't either
that he was that he worked for him.
So pretty that's cool, pretty man. Big. Those our worlds coming together, and yeah. It was funny. I didn't remember this about Colton. That I he holds the distinction of being the only service member to fight in the UFC while still on active duty. I totally forgot about that.
I think I do remember that.
So still on active duty while he was doing it. So anyway, perfect fit, man. Shout out to the CFFC team, man, for. You know, obviously we'd love to have Punk there, but he's got WWE duties. So to find somebody to replace him, I thought, man, nailed it on this one. You know what I mean? How cool is that that he's going to be there? So looking forward to that. So, you know, the main event, it's Chuck Buffalo, Charles Radke versus your boy Eric Anders in the main event. Jimmy Flick, UFC flyweight, is in the co-main event. Obviously a submission machine. He'll be there against Marcelo Cohen. Miguel Baeza is in against Guillermo Neves. And Jose Perez, the reigning CFFC featherweight champion, who I thought for sure was going to be on the Ultimate Fighter but was not selected for it. He's in action against Max Livingston as well. So we've got 9 matches coming for you tomorrow night. It's crazy, man. I'm catching the red eye tonight. This week and next week are going to be I'm in the middle of a crazy stretch, but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But taking a red eye tonight, so I'm leaving in just a couple hours, flying through Charlotte to Savannah. While I'm in Savannah. Woo. While I'm in Savannah, hosting the PFL media call tomorrow, and then we'll head on over to the airbase to set up for Fury Professional Grappling 9 on UFC Fight Pass. So
busy,
man. A cool.
Then you're gonna come back to town, do another staycation, then head on the road again.
Well, that's why you know you have to.
When you're always gone, you're gone now so much that when you come back home, you do staycations in Vegas because you're like you just got off the road.
Can we pretend like we're gone but be at home? Like that's what I want to do. It's funny. It is funny.
That's awesome.
Hey, I want to ask you one last thing before we jump off. I know, like I said, I got to go out here. Ronda Rousey in the news this week. I want to say.
About her book?
Yeah. And people jumping on her. And, I don't know, man. As somebody who lived through the Ronda Rousey era, who actually got a first row seat to a lot of it, you know, got an opportunity to call some of her fights for Tough Enough as an amateur, and obviously you and I, man, we covered all that. You were still working for the UFC at that time, right? So, I mean, you didn't even necessarily cover it from the outside. You were right there alongside
her. Right when she transitioned over.
I know she soured a lot of people with the way she departed the sport, right? Yeah. She didn't ever speak to the media. She kind of got done with all that, and she explained a lot of it in some of the interviews that she's done. And so I know she upset a lot of people, but I feel like people are trying to go back and rewrite history and talk about, you know, her skill level or what she actually
wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
She was good. She was really good. And there's not a woman on the UFC roster that doesn't owe a debt of gratitude to Ronda Rousey. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't pioneers before Ronda Rousey, because there were.
Sure.
And they deserve credit as well.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that there wouldn't have been somebody after Ronda if it wasn't Ronda. But it was Ronda.
Yep.
She was the one that got Dana White to be like, you know what? Let's roll the dice on this. Let's go for it. Let's do this in the UFC.
Yep.
And I think because of that, she's owed a debt of gratitude. And, man, you especially, you had an even closer seat than I did to see the amount of work that she put in to help further herself, of course, but the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dude, she did
every nonstop promo. Yeah, nonstop promos, nonstop whatever. I mean, we did multiple stuff, even for the Las Vegas convention. Like, we did that shoot at the at the Stratosphere, where we took her up on the top, shot her up in the air. We were at the Mandalay doing the shark dive stuff. I mean, like, stuff that I know was fun, but it was also like
it's work.
We were capitalizing as much as we could. And that was the Las Vegas convention center saying, like, we want to get involved with what the UFC is doing. We realize how big this woman is, and we want to get on board and show, hey, people, come to Vegas. Look at Ronda doing these things in Vegas, and you can do them too, you know? It was a nonstop media circuit that she was on, and she was carrying the sport. Whether or not she was – it wasn't like she was going out and trying to say, like, hey, I'm the best thing in women's MMA, but she was carrying that torch at the time, and she deserves to get the credit for carrying that the brunt of that on her back. Same thing, people put a lot of stuff on what – you can't take away what Conor was able to do and carry the name up just because he carried on his back as well. Whether he wanted to or not, you know, that was put on him, and he did a good job. And the same thing for Ronda. A lot was put on her back whether she asked for it or not, you know, and she did a great job of it. And at the very end of the day, you know, like part of it – you know, same with social media, the same with everything. people feel entitled to get things from everybody. Like, they, I'm going to tweet you, and I'll be damned. You better tweet me back. You better say something to me. It's like, right. No, you're not given that, you know? So at the end of her career, yes, would we want her to maybe exit differently and give us explanations and tell us things to appease us? Yes, we all wanted that. But did she have to?
Did she owe us anything?
Did she owe us that?
Not a
no,
damn
she
thing.
Didn't. You know, she did what she needed to do. So, I mean, like, if people still have sour grapes about how her exit was or whatever, like, bro, get over it. Like, to rewrite history and say that she wasn't great at the time, you got to remember what the sport has changed, and for men and for women. When the sport, you know, started, the men then were great at what they were doing, but they're nothing compared to the guys that have been doing this nonstop forever and ever, because people watch that. Ronda, when she came out, and just the same thing, but if people couldn't defend the armbar, it dominated.
Yep.
You know, it dominated. And then eventually people figured it out and figured out that, hey, all I have to do is shut that down, and then she needs to be well-rounded in another area. And her striking and stuff was able to carry her at the time because she was an overall just dangerous. But to say she wasn't a great fighter, I can see where somebody's like, if you're going back and you're like, well, let's just, for purists, let's rate her striking on the greatest scale or whatever.
Right.
Like, don't do that.
It'd be like saying Hoyce Gracie wasn't a great fighter.
Exactly.
He was an incredible fighter.
And you saw what happened
towards
the end.
And the time. Yeah, and yes. He came back at UFC 60, and guess what? He didn't look it. Why? Because the sport had evolved in the game.
Yep.
But somebody had to be the one that started it, and somebody had to be the best to start
it. She was a fire starter. She started it.
The type of
attention. Well, she didn't start it, but she put it. She was the one that made little girls that were watching it like, wow, who is this?
I want to do that,
you know. And then some of them now are in the sport, you know. So, I mean, she deserves credit for that. I mean, like, for somebody to go back and like you said, rewrite history and say that she wasn't ever good for that period when she was fighting, she was great.
Yep.
Because she kept winning. If she wasn't great, she wouldn't have kept winning, you know. Like, you know, as much as, you know, people maybe even say like, oh, well, she should have had, you know, I mean, she fought for the Strikeforce belt. Damn near took Misha's arm off.
Oh,
I mean, like, she put on great fights. And that's like trying to say, okay, the people that she fought, you're saying Misha's not a good fighter? You're trying to say all these other things? I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, people just want to argue about shit, you know. I'm glad she wrote a book. I'm glad she got her words out. I mean, she did it on her own calendar, or her own time frame, and good for her. I'm sure someday maybe I'll pick it up or whatever. I'm not going to rush out and get it, but I don't rush out and get any books anymore.
No.
You know, if it's an anime, then maybe I'll order it.
or a Korean rom-com book.
Or if it's Korean. No, those I only watch on the TV, you know, because I don't really read Korean. That would be weird to have a Korean print and then have a subtitle underneath it. Like, what would be the point of that? Just write it in English, you know. But no, I mean, that's too bad that people want to just – I think anything, you know, you put – you know, any of these iconic figures put anything out. I think we can see that in other sports where, like, you know, NFL heroes or NFL legends might put a book, and I'm sure somebody's going to shit on those books as well. So it's probably par for the course, but for people to say that Ronda didn't make a great contribution to the sport would just be silly.
I agree, man.
It would
man.
Just be ridiculous.
I haven't liked some of the things I've seen out there. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's just like new fans or, like you said, just the social media era, but it's like, don't try to go back and rewrite history,
man. I think it's the social media. But, man, I tell you, for being just on the UFC side of things, some of the grind that they put her through, like going place to place,
dude,
and
she,
it was never ending.
She put it on her back.
It was
back,
never
man.
Ending. I was just shooting it, and there'd be days at the end I was like, I am beat, and I'm like, let alone to be the face, be on the camera.
Right.
Smile. Can we do that again? Smile a little bit better on this one. Can you blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're like, and this, they were already expecting her to be, act like a superstar, even though you don't know how. It's like, you're not trained to be a superstar. You just, it comes out of how it is. People expected her to be a superstar right from the get-go.
You're making
and
it
so
up
there was
as you
so
go.
Much
you
stuff,
don't know.
So much stuff. Yeah, it was just crazy. I mean, that's a bit off-putting that people would try to, you know, shit on her contribution to the stuff. I mean, it is what it is. But I just know, I respect for the work that she put on during a lot of the days, because she was very, very cordial. She was very, very polite to me. And I know a lot of those days were super, super long days. Even just like that shoot at the Mandalay at the Shark Tank. I can't remember if that was one day or two days, but it was just ridiculous. Putting on like pounds and pounds of gear just to try to do these different little shoots and all this other stuff. And it's like, I'm just a fighter. I'm just a fighter, you know. But they're like, no, we're expecting you. No, you're an actor now. But look what happened.
Yeah.
She did get into acting after it.
I mean, well, so I was going to ask you, speaking of you talking about rushing out to watch, have you seen Roadhouse yet?
I've seen like I haven't seen Connor. I started watching it, and then I was like, I'm just not in the mood. Like, I started cheesing out on some of the shit, like even just some of the scenes before, and I was like, this is going to be rough. And I like Jake Gyllenhaal, but no, I haven't finished it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I need to put it back on. I just, every time when I try to find the motivation, it just goes away. And it's funny because, like, so people that have watched it, there's like a scene on the boat before Connor gets there. You see like one of the bad guys is getting his face shaved and the boat's rocking and he's getting mad at the guy shaving it. And the acting was so effing bad. I was just like, I can't continue watching this. I was like, Connor hasn't even made it in here. And I was like, I don't want
to
watch it
anymore.
Maybe you
just got to skip straight to the Connor stuff.
You know, who is it? The phrase that they're like, they said the road, maybe it was Alex or somebody said that the Roadhouse was the perfect movie to put on while washing dishes and doing laundry. So you're not really paying attention. I will give it a try. I will finish it. I will watch it. I am going to do it. I just have not done it yet because every time I try, I'm just like.
I don't watch a lot of movies just because I don't have a chance to sit down for that long. Yeah. But,
and it's
but
not Korean.
It's
not, if it was dubbed in Korean, I'd probably get through it or something.
I bet you could do that. I bet you could do it. Maybe put it in. I bet they got a way to do that. Put Korean audio on there with some subtitles or something.
I would watch it.
I bet.
I bet it would be outstanding.
But did you see the press release that came out? 50 million worldwide viewers over the first 2 weekends on Prime Video. That's pretty incredible.
We talked about that. Now, so I know I watched it for a little bit, so I'm sure my number is one of those numbers. Now, I can see where Connor, if somebody, Connor or somebody tries to say, like, man, just think, if that was a theatrical release, how much money we would make the 50 million. They would not get 50 million views.
Because people wouldn't be paying. No. Nobody, that's why it was the perfect place to put it, right?
It was perfect.
It was the perfect place.
Perfect. Those numbers are absolutely insane. They would have nowhere near.
No.
Like a fraction. I mean, let's be real. I mean,
And the other thing, too, is that, you know, people are like, oh, it's so cheesy. But, like, the first Roadhouse was cheesy, right? Like, it's kind of supposed to be that way.
Careful.
Like, it's.
Careful. You're treading on legendary ground. No, I'm just kidding. I will rip your throat out right now. I mean, you're right. It was super cheesy. I mean, but I think it's cheesy after the fact. When it happened, when the movie came out, we didn't think it was cheesy.
Yeah, that's true.
It was badass.
It was
like
badass.
It was like, dude, Roadhouse is badass. But now we can look back on it and think like, oh, that was ridiculous. We got, you know, Patrick Swayze out there, the same guy that says, she's like the wind, out there doing Tai Chi and ripping dudes' throats out. Like, we get it. But, like, at the time, it was badass, you know? Like,
it was.
So when they used some of the same lines in there, I was like, oh, I can't believe they used that line, you know? Like, nobody ever wins a fight, you know? I was like, as he's getting patched up by the doctor, I was like, shut up. I can't believe you used that. I was like, no, that lived in the other movie. You're supposed to write something different. This one, I think you're right. I think you have to go in it knowing that it's going to be cheesy. It's going to be lighthearted. Just shut the brain off and have fun and just be better than me and make it to when Connor actually gets there.
Well,
you know?
I saw people like the Connor meme or whatever. Where he like walks in like swollen up and
how he walks all the time.
Well, I was gonna say, like, you gotta think he was having some fun with that, right?
Or like Connor, just walk in like you normally do, or I imagine in my head, they're like, they try to give him stage directions. Connor, a little less shoulders, and then watch him still have his shoulder. This is less shoulders.
He's like, bro, I'm so jacked now. The shoulders don't go anywhere else, bro. They just stay right here, man. Have you not seen what I've been putting on up there? Throwing up the weight.
You see these lats, dog? I can't even touch my sides with my arms. My arms have to stay out like this.
He's like, bro, I'm on that cold coffee program, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing but shoulders, dog. What are we working out today? Shoulders. Shoulders and lats. Can we do legs? No.
Shoulder day.
Lats. Shoulder day.
What's tomorrow?
Lats.
Well, today I had the shoulders again.
Yeah. And then maybe some neck stuff.
Well, I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm going to see it. I can't watch it. I can't watch tonight because I got to actually sleep on the plane or I'm going to be like.
If you have an iPad, you should download it for the plane.
I do have an iPad, but I got to sleep tonight because I got tomorrow.
That's true. Maybe it'll put you to sleep. It's the perfect film to put on the background while you sleep.
Maybe I'll find it. I'm going
to
watch it.
But I would think if you're stuck in the airport, if you're stuck on a flight, that might be a fun one to have on there.
Sir, that's when I go to the Admiral's Club. And
yeah. Well, on your flight back, maybe.
I think I need to sleep then, too.
Yeah,
I got the early flight out.
Fine. I will watch it. I mean, people, you know, the people that I think have went into that movie with the right mentality and like not expecting Oscar award have all enjoyed it. In fact, they've all said that they've watched it like two times.
Like, it's fun. I'm sure it's fun.
Which kills me. I'm like, fuck, I haven't got through once. And they're like, bro, I watched it like two times. I was like, okay, I gotta give it another try.
Yeah, yeah.
I will get through it.
I'm sure Connor's just like being himself, you know what I mean? But like, that's why they brought him in there.
Yeah. I mean, he did what he did. But honestly, it's not just him. I couldn't – like some of the other guys I was watching, I was like, this is bad. Jake, I thought, was – Jake was awesome. Jake's a good actor. But like some of the other guys, I was just like, oh, if I'm already getting shit at these guys and they're supposed to be actors, I was like, what am I going to think when I see Connor on there? But honestly, I think he's just going to be – I just got to go in it knowing that it's going to be silly. It's going to be lighthearted. And just enjoy it. You know, I don't think I'm going to watch it twice. I will get through it once.
Well, technically, you've already watched it once.
That's true. Now you're...
You won't make it all the way through twice.
Yeah.
But you've watched it twice. So. All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to check it out, too. I still need to check it out. I'm anxious to hear what people think about it. And I think, if you go in with the right attitude, I think you have fun.
I know what would help.
What's that?
If we did like Josh Hernandez and drank a bunch more Busch Light.
Ooh.
Which to our credit, I guess we didn't want to put it on him that was his favorite beer. But in fact, Josh reached back out. And for those of you that are on the Patreon channel, you know, we have lots of fun areas where you can comment and do stuff. And he commented on the last one. He said, to be fair, my favorite beer for quantity, which I love that he said for quantity.
For quantity.
That's where we're like, he's a roadshow. That's a roadshow listener. He says, my favorite beer for quantity is Busch Light. I do like this part. And my favorite beer is free beer. True, true.
Well
true.
Done, sir.
And he said, but I love a good Heineken. I'm like, which for me, I was like, that's a big jump from the Busch Light to the Heineken. I do like the Heineken. Heineken at times, it's got like that skunky smell.
I think it's Heineken in the United States. Heineken maybe. In Europe, if you can get over there, like it's good, it's fresh. I'm sure they produce it here too. But I agree with you. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times I try Heineken and I'm like,
are you a Heineken snob? Are you a European Heineken lover or is it American?
He's
Heineken?
Like, I get it all shipped directly
from wherever they make it,
wherever
that place Heineken land.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, because first we were like, let's not put that on him. We don't want to put that on. But, you know, it's funny. As we talked about it today, we were like, dude, it was pretty good.
It was not like bad at all.
If we had a 12-pack in front of us right now, we'd drink it.
I'm telling you, I enjoyed it last week.
It was crisp.
I was
It was easy drinking.
Easy drinking.
Well, I think it was, you know, because I think a lot of times when you drink some cheap beers, like, I wonder how Nat Light, I know if I drank a Rolling Rock right now, I'd still think it tastes like piss. That I'm pretty 100% sure. But I think it's with some of the cheap beers, it's the malt liquor ones.
Yeah.
That you don't know which ones are like malt liquor, and you drink it. Like, if somebody's like, my favorite beer is Colt 45, I know what I'm going to get if we're drinking Colt 45. Yeah. Or if somebody's like, Old English. Have you ever heard this Old English brand? It's really, really good. They love it in England. It's Old English. That shit is so bad. But yeah, no, the Busch Light was actually it was fine. It was good. We drank it all.
I think I had more than you did, but
you did. But I was trying to work out.
You had
after
to get swole.
Oscar was here. I didn't want to look bad and like, hey, let's go work out after I drink these beers.
I was
that
like,
never does well. That never works.
That's
out.
Why I just drank the beers. I didn't want to do that either.
We did try to get you in there. It's funny. We did leg day the other day, or we were going to do leg day. I was like, I'm going to get Morgan over. We're going to do leg days.
No.
I mean, if you're going to be wearing shorts, man, we got to show off them legs.
Well, I'm definitely going to be wearing shorts.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I got to go pack. I haven't even packed my bag yet. I've been so busy.
You got to go pack your shorts.
I'm going to go. I know, grappling. I don't even have to put a suit on, dude. We don't even wear suits for the grappling.
That's awesome.
I love that. Yeah. So I love that. It won't take me long to pack, that's for sure. I don't have to wear a suit, so that's awesome. I got to go do that. So anyway, yeah, you mentioned Patreon.com. Appreciate everybody that supports us over there. If you want to, appreciate it. Patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. That would help us out a lot. For as little as $3 a month, you will have support of us and access to the and a half episodes, which I'll certainly be doing one of those after the UFC Fight Night 240 this weekend. Maybe we'll talk a little PFL as well, talk a little Fury Professional Grappling and that experience. We'll have a lot to talk about. But if you can't do that, if you can just take a second to rate us, review us, we appreciate that. But if you can't do any of that even, know that we still like you.
Yeah, we do.
We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.